Good morning, brothers and sisters. I think we have just read the very difficult prayers from Jonah. And can you imagine, this prayer came from the fish belly. So have you had that kind of a situation? Well, maybe. So today we are going to ponder, see from God's perspective. Otherwise, a lot of time we feel like our prayer or our perspective or perception, are we a match with the Lord's? Okay, let's bow our head and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for you are our Lord, you are our God. We come before you to worship you. Thank you, Lord, for through the hymns and in you there is a salvation. Lord, we stand still before you. We want to listen to you, and please speak to us and through the Jonah. And thank you, Lord, for all this, your servant. He wrote down the testimonies for himself and help us to learn from your perspective. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, lady, we have watched a DVD about this Jonah. Have you all finished yet? Oh, you did? Finished the entire DVD or just partially? Entire. Okay, that's a good time. So I can address this topic and see from God's perspective. We know Jonah, the prayers that we just read is very difficult for this the God's servant. And why this happened? We all know Jonah received the mission from the Lord. And if you turn to the book of Jonah, if you have a Bible with you, see from the very first verse, he said, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because the wickedness has come up before me." That's the mission. He need to go there and tell the people in Nineveh and say, well, God's judgment has come to this city within 40 days and the whole city will be destroyed. We say we like to preach the gospel, and I think that's pretty much to preach the doom a different way. The God is going to, the judgment of God will come and the whole city will be destroyed in 40 days. That's a mission for the Jonah from the Lord. That's the very beginning. Well, we know what's the Jonah's reaction. Is that right? Verse 2 already say that. Well, so we see he tried to run away. He tried to flee from the presence of the Lord, and he's go to the different way. So here we see 2 Peter Chapter 3, verse 9. Can we all read together? Is type it on the PowerPoint so we can all read together. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So remember, that's a kind of a presumption, or the Lord's His providence. And we see this, not willing, the Lord not willing to have any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So with this perception, we can go on for the Jonah and what we watch the DVD. So hopefully we can learn. So we just read the prayer of Jonah. It's very difficult. Can you imagine 3 days? You are in the fish belly. You won't see the light. Occasionally, probably the mouth of the fish will open, all the sea water will come in, and with the salt probably on his eyes and seaweed on his head. That's what he said. Okay. Because nobody had that kind of experience. And he said, this is deep, deep. And he even used that word, salt. And it seems that those are the description about maybe he compared to the the hell or compared to somewhere is dead people probably experience that kind of a thing. So no light, all darkness, and he keeps saying it in depth and deep and that kind of situation. So it's his prayer. Jonah was terrified. There's a mission the Lord has committed to him, and he viewed this kind of mission as a suicide assignment. Lord, why are you giving me this? So I need to give you a little bit of background. Let's start from Jonah. Where's this book came from? And then we can kind of trace why he's terrified about this assignment. Well, if you look at the Bible timeline, okay, where's the Jonah book? Well, Jonah was pretty much in the middle of it. Okay, if we say here is the BC here, and then here's all the timeline, and then after that will be the Christ, when the Christ came. Alright, so see the Jonah is written in this book. It's roughly about 750 to 790 BC between that time. So during that time, well, we see the Israel split north and south already. And northern part, they have the enemy, which is Assyrian Empire. And yes, that's Assyrian's capital. That's the assignment he received. Jonah, go there to preach the doom of the city. The judgment is coming. Well, this is very hard for him. If you know about the background of the Assyrian Empire, it's known for their brutality and their terrorism, and they kill people. If you see, go to the museum, see those the picture, you'll be horrified. When they capture your enemy, I mean a Assyrian enemy, they bury them alive, only the head above the ground. And probably a half day or one day they are gone. It's very brutal, people, and other things too. So when he received this kind of assignment, and just like today, you and me, say, well, we want to walk into the center of a terrorist camp and try to preach the gospel to them, just like that kind of a mentality. Of course, he's terrified, and he tried to run away, and because of this is the enemy. This is the enemy of the Judah. And I can probably add the words that the mortal enemy of Judah. So that's serious. So that's why from his perception, he cannot realize how the God can see this and send him over to the enemy's country. So Jonah's mind, his mindset, is misinterpret the God's assignment from his perspective or his perception, and why God want me to do this. And he allowed his instincts to override God's instructions. A lot of time we have an instinct. Lord, this is impossible. Oh, no, this is very difficult. No, not me. A lot of time we have that kind of situation. Is that right? So what the situation, what's his response? His mind said, Jonah rose and flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. That's why he wrote down. This is his testimony. He wrote down for himself. Where's the Tarshish? Maybe we need a map to help us. Okay, so Jonah was in this area, and he heard about this mission or assignment, and he ran to the seaport called Joppa and found a ship. And then he tried to sail to far, far away. Although the Lord wanted him to go this way to Nineveh, and he go the other way, 180 degree difference. Many times we just like that. The Lord wants us to do something, and we say, no, Lord, this is a difficult assignment. Not me. I'm going the other way. That's the Jonah's mindset. He wants to run away from the Lord. And a lot of time we see the man's mindset the Lord tests the mind. Jeremiah 17:10. I already typed it out. We can read this. Let's read together. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. Wow. People look at outside. But the Lord searched the heart and test the mind. There's a search and there's a test. Here's a test. Okay, the mind. And from Jonah we know, he said, I can't. I can't do this assignment. I'm going to Tarshish. Run far, far away from the Lord's assignment. Well, be mindful of the things of God. Do you remember the Matthew 16:21-23? If you parallel, we can think about this. Do you know one time Peter was tested? His mind. Jesus asked him the question, say, who am I? And he got a perfect score. Is that right? He said, you are the Christ. So, and Jesus said, great, wow. Unless your mind got revealed by this, and you won't be understand that I'm the Christ. But turn around. When Jesus predicted his death, his resurrection to the disciple, do you know what Peter did? He grabbed Jesus' hand to the side, say, well, Rabbi, never do that. Don't go there. To go, if somebody want to kill you, run away. Don't do that. That's his mindset. You remember that? And what did Jesus reply? Wow, it's very very strict dispute. But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Peter. No, get behind me, Satan." Wow, that's a strong word. Strong the name. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man. Well, looks like in the Old Testament, God tests the mind, searched the heart. In the New Testament, God also do the same thing. Today, God look into our heart and He want to test our mind. Are we receiving His instruction or just through our mindset or our instinct? Okay, now there's a second things happen. Chapter 1 of Noah, if you can open your Bible, you can see this. Something happened. Fleeing from the presence of the Lord, Jonah, he boarded a ship and find this sailors and can help him to go to Tarshish, far, far away from his assignment, his destination, which is Nineveh, and sailed in the opposite direction. Okay, so right now, God, the sovereign power for his mission, and God used a lot of natural or animals or plants to reveal to Jonah. So here we see, even though he tried his might, he could not overturn the breath of God. Well, this ship set sail, and shortly after that, there's a storm. And, well, the ship just sailed into the storms. So, just like this. Have you seen this storm in the ocean? It's very horrible. It may be a several story tall. And last week, we have the pastor came over here. Oh, Pastor Gary mentioned about Taiwan has the storm. So after the worship, I went home and I called my relatives in the north and south and see what happened. And they say, well, it seems they hit pretty hard. Yes, about 3 million people, they don't have light. And but they say, well, it's only about a handful of people perished because of the storm. And the power is back, says one day. And my sister is a piano teacher, so she says she need to cancel a couple of days of a piano lesson. So now she's so busy, she doesn't have time to talk to me because all the schedule is back because of typhoon. Okay, back to this, the strong wind. So here we see when they met this strong, the ship sailed into this storm. And what's the reaction? Jonah went under the deck and had a deep sleep. If you turn to the Bible, you'll see deep sleep. He slept under the strong storm and he can sleep. And he need to wait until the sailor come and say, wake up, pray to your God, and maybe he will spare us. And so we won't be a perish. And when Jonah woke up, he said, well, literally he said, it's my fault. Just throw me into the ocean. Just throw me in the ocean. And before that he said, the God I believe is created sea and the mountain and the earth. And so the sailor kind of was scared. Wow. He said, a lot of powers over there, your God. And how can I throw you into the ocean? And probably we'll be all perish if we did that. And Jonah said, no. Well, it's my fault. And pick me up and throw me into the sea and you will become calm. I know that is my fault that as a great storm has come upon you. I literally quoted what he said. Well, we know all the sailors, they finally decided, and okay, we'll throw you into the ocean, but may all this the curse won't come to us. So there again, Jonah's perspectives were wrong. The storm wasn't the real problem. It was he tried to get away from God's assignment. Or in today's world, we describe this as that's his sin. Away from God, the target of the Lord. So what if he can just nail down at that time before the Lord and offer to go to the Nineveh wholeheartedly? Probably, all this, the storm will turn and might have taken a different turn, so it won't hurt all this whole ship. But Jonah, he has a wrong perspective. He see that from his understanding. He requests the sailor to throw him overboard into the raging sea. So we know the story. It's a big fish. Okay, we don't know if it's a whale or not, but it's a big fish. And he was swallowing the fish, into the fish. And that's a horrible situation. We mentioned about that. Maybe he can hear the big heartbeat and the whole stomach is turning and smelling and the cold water. Can you imagine, 3 days all in the wet clothes and probably you cannot sit down because, your stomach keep turning and fish stomach keep turning too. And occasionally, like I said, a fish open the mouth and all the seawater just coming gushing and with all other fish or something, and so the bad smelling and no light. So he started to pray and said, oh Lord, I went to your temple. Oh Lord, remember me. Oh Lord, there is a salvation. Forgive me. So at that time, it seems that he knows something already. Okay, so let's move on for another storm. We see it in the New Testament. Do they have a storm recorded in the New Testament parallel to that kind of storm? Yes. Luke chapter 8, verse 22 to 23. I didn't print it out, the whole thing. But here is Jesus warned their disciple, sail the boat to the other side of the lake. And we see there is a big storm happen. And again, Jesus slept on a boat. And all the disciples, they tried to row it, tried to calm down. They all very experienced sailor. But they cannot control the boat. And they woke up Jesus. And we know Jesus, he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased. And there was a calm. But he said to them, where is your faith? Where is your faith? I'm on a boat. Even though the storm, the raging storm, the raging the water, but I'm on a boat. it seems that there's a picture, parallel. Is that right? Jonah had a deep sleep under the deck during the storm. Same thing, Jesus on the boat with disciples. And Jesus said, just sail it over there to the other side of the lake. If Jesus say that, that's a Simon, yes, they will be there safely. But disciples, they walk him up and say, well, Rabbi, how can you sleep under this kind of storm? And Jesus woke up and calmed the storm and turned around and asked him, where is your faith? Before that, he did something very miraculous. He calmed the sea, calmed the wind. So there's a parallel there. It looks like Jonah's testimony. It seems that he is going to draw some picture or foreshadow of the Christ in the New Testament. We already seen the first part and the second part. We're going to go on and see this point. There's a wisdom. Jonah 1, verse 17. Say, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. 3 days and three nights. That parallel to somewhere we learned in the New Testament? Yes, Jesus would die 3 days and he rose again. So the interesting date, is that just a coincidence? Or maybe it's a God's plan? Or maybe it's, like I said, is they try to kind of show the picture in the future. There is a Savior is coming. Well, I say from a wisdom part, in Apostle Paul's letter, he also mentioned about this God's wisdom. And 1 Corinthians 1:20-24, he mentioned about God has the wisdom. And even though we think he went to the cross, it seems that this is the way that people cannot comprehend. Why he need to go through the cross? Why he need to do that? And a lot of time we don't know he died for you and my sins. Back to the Jonah's case. We know the fish, later on after he prayed, and fish just carry him to the coast and then just spit him out. And Jonah now, he is undoubtedly, he took a long bath and then he packed up his bag and then, well, now it seems that he obediently headed toward the Nineveh. Okay, if you go back to the Jonah, you will see that. And his mind was a lot clearer now, and he would go to the Nineveh, and he thought just to preach the doom to his enemy. Probably that's what the Lord want him to do. And he can see the city will perish, and his country will be saved. Probably his mindset, again, is under that. But once again, Jonah's perception didn't match the God's reality. So what's the God's reality? To his surprise or astonishment, the Nineveh humbled themselves, and they repented. That's out of his imagination. How can this kind of a country, very brutal country, is a terrorist country, all these people can suddenly hear all this probably for them is the doom, the judgment of God will come, and they repent, and they humble themselves. And from the king to the whole people underneath the king, so God spared the city. God spared the city. So this caused another crisis for Jonah. He couldn't understand, comprehend why the Lord doing that. So he kind of pouted over God's mercy, why the Lord do that. So you know that. You know the story. And this seems that Jonah, he was, exactly the wrong outcome he was anticipated, and how much better to Nineveh got destroyed, so that's been the Judah, all this threat and the danger will be removed. And he did that. The Lord said, there's a judgment, and then he did that. So we see the God's wisdom. is different from the New Testament. Apostle Paul said, God used the wisdom of God, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. He used something we cannot comprehend. Why need to go through the cross? Why he need to shed the blood and then resurrected? So all this is kind of a parallel to let us understand that God's wisdom is above man's wisdom. So Jonah, you have seen found a DVD. It's very good. It's this show is in Branson. So Pastor Gary mentioned about that. So for those of you watched the show in Branson or here, we got a DVD, and probably we know about what's the result of that. And let's continue to see from a different perspective. Let me move on. The providence. From Jonah 3:10. Let's read together. Okay. Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he has said he would bring upon them. And he did not do that. God relent and did not destroy the city, because the Nineveh, the people, they humbled themselves and they repented. They repented. So this destruction did not go to the city. This is the problem of God. Sometimes we cannot comprehend. If I'm in Jonah's shoes, and probably I'll say, Lord, you want me to come over here? And I went through all this hustle, and I experienced that probably a deadly situation under the inside of the fish, and it's almost like the submarine without light, and you brought me here, and I obediently bring all the message to this city. And why you did not destroy the city? Well, this is the providence of God. You see, the people repent, and destruction did not come. Just like today, if we come to the Lord and say, Lord, I repent. I repented in the past. Probably I have said something wrong against you, or I did something horrible, or I said something horrible. And the Lord say, if you truly repent, I'm going to take you back. I'm not going to destroy you. So that's kind of a providence that Jonah did not understand at that time. So Jonah, at this time, he was probably chapter 3, chapter 4. We see Jonah sat under the vine, and he kind of sat there, wanted to see the city got destroyed. I want to see what you're going to do for this city. So he wanted to see the outcome the God would do. Well, he was under the scorching sun. So God prepared one vine to cover him. And he said, oh, it's a shadow. It's comfortable. And God sent a worm to destroy the vine. And under the scorching sun, so Jonah, again, he fumed about his circumstances and angered again. And so that's gave the Lord a renewed opportunity to teach him about compassion. Compassion. And of course, we know the Lord told him, you were more concerned about a worm, a vine, on your uncomfort than the city. They have thousands would have perished without the message I gave you. They heard the message and they turned their heart. Don't I care about them? Yes, I love them too, even though they are your enemy. But they repent. They repent. So Jonah evidently saw the God's way, and he wrote down this his experience in a book. And that was exactly his testimony. So sometimes we just see the life circumstances is very different from the Lord does. And Lord, you say, I trust you and I believe you and I will be blessed. And how come you put me in this difficult situation? Many times we'll have that kind of question mark. Well, why did this happen to me? I went through that too. okay, and for the work or for my parents' physical condition, I say, Lord, they all love you. Why this happened? Why this happened to me? And so my parents, they all with the Lord now, but during that period of time, I have a lot of questions. Lord, my dad was a good guy, and he was a professor as well, and why he got this cancer. But the Lord has a mercy. Even though cancer to the end of stage is very painful, but my dad did not feel that kind of painfulness. And the same brother in the church, at that time, his dad just passed away the same cancer with my dad. And he said his dad was not believed the Lord. Toward the end, that kind of cancer caused him to curse everything. And this dear brother told him and said, you can curse anything, but except don't curse God. So I understand that kind of cancer is very severe to the end. But my dad did not experience that. So God still have compassion, still have a love to all his people. Yes, my dad, he was a Christian. He loved the Lord. So you see all this story. We can see the God's providence. Did you see from a book of Jonah anybody, any life lost? No, none of the life got lost. Jonah got swallowed by fish. He did not die. How about sailor? Probably you're curious about it. Knows a sailor. What happened? Is the ship just tipped over and capsized and everybody died? No. The storm come and those sailor become to sacrifice, offer the sacrifice to the Lord. So now they know who is the true God. So none of sailor lost life. How about the people, they all live in Nineveh? Anybody die? Bible didn't say that. So all the life got saved. This is the sovereign of the Lord. This is the providence of the Lord. He has his own the plan. Today the same thing. He wants us to be safe. None of us will get lost or destroyed or perish. And for those who are willing to turn to him, yes, he's going to save. When Jesus died on the cross, he's not alone. You got a company, one on the right side, one on the left side. Is that right? And one just teased him, well, if you're God, just save us, including me, then let us get down this cross. But the other side, the robber say, well, he shouldn't have this, like us. Yes, we've done so many wrong things, so today this we deserve this. And he trusts the Jesus. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. Wow, to the end. Just one word. One mind change. And he is in the paradise. And unfortunately, his friend on the other side of the cross, probably he perished. So it's the Lord, his providence, his compassion. It's really beyond what we can comprehend. Okay, let's make a conclusion for today. I think we already done this, so I can move on. Okay. We already done that. Okay, so see that God's providence or perspective through trusting in the Lord with all our hearts, because He searched our hearts. He tests our minds. We quote this even last night. Last night we had a wonderful gathering for Jerry. She's moving, and I think Uncle Tony probably quoted this one. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. We quote this so many times, but a lot of times we forget it. And we still go back to our reasoning, our mind, our perceptions. But here, say, trusting in the Lord with all your hearts. That's what we learn from Jonah. How about second one we learn? Leaning on His optimal truth, but not our instinct. We have a lot of instincts, all right? Oh, this is not good. oh, this food, no, it's not tasty, too sweet or something. We like to do a judgment right away. Is that right? But the Lord wants us to, well, to wait. Maybe we need to wait before Him. John 14:6, Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So, leaning on His optimal truth. He is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. We can go to the Father through Him. That's what we learn. We need to lean on His optimal truth. Optimal truth. How about another point we learn? Learning to trust God's Word more than our perceptions. A lot of time we read Bible, we read it through our understanding or our background or our training in the past, education in the past. But here we need to learn from Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. That part, it seems surgeon cannot get into. Soul and spirit. And of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the hearts. Thoughts and hearts. Only the God can pierce in with His Word. So that's why it's so important. His Word, we need to read it daily, because that will become our sword. And this sword is a two-edged sword. It's very powerful. It's very powerful. How about the last point we learned from Jonah? Being prayerfully acknowledging as the Lord of every situation. Not every situation we are favorable. Sometimes we feel like this situation is unfavorable. Why this occurred to me? Why I have a car accident? And I had a car accident last year, and I think I can kind of sympathize all this. Why this happened? My daughter's roommate just had it. There's a car, same thing, a car accident too. So I can sympathize her. Here it talk about Philippians 3:20-21, for our citizenship in heaven. Let's read together. Okay. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that may be transformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. Okay, so we know the Lord, He is the Lord of every situation. Even though the situation is not what we anticipated, the Lord has a better plan for us. And I believe we all can experience this, and we all can learn from the book of Jonah. And like I said, the book of Jonah is really is his testimony. He depicted all this, the Christ, salvation, the God's providence, the God's wisdom, and through the storm, through the mindset, we can turn ourselves to the Lord. That's the ultimate purpose. Let's bow our head and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the lesson from the Jonah. And help us to know, sometimes we see it's just an obstacle or it's a difficulty. But we don't know, this is from Your perspective, this is the opportunity. This is the blessing. And sometimes we feel like this is a unpleasant condition, is a predicament, but from Your perspective, it's the providence. Lord, help us not to just rely on our mind, to misinterpret God's assignment from our human understanding, and sometimes that we only trust our instinct instead of Your instruction. Lord, also, we see Your wisdom. You want all the people got saved, and You don't want anyone lost. Lord, help us not to flee from Your presence of the Lord, and we can turn to You instead of we just want to go on our way. Lord, thank You for the lesson and the testimony through the Jonah. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Robert, for the morning. Please stand and sing hymn 366. Open the hymn book to 366.